Welcome to the Bigger Room Podcast. I'm your host, Mel Kobian.
And I'm Jill Bender. And today we're going to discuss the 5 tips to help your anxiety. Before we get into it, I do have a favor. If you could please help us out, help out the Bigger Room Podcast by leaving us a review. Reviews help podcasts grow and it tells more people about it. And we would appreciate it so much. Thank you. So let's get into it right now, Mel.
If you haven't already, make sure to check out our episode on 5 tips to stop procrastinating, because procrastination tends to lead to anxiety. And so yeah, let's dive right into it. Jill, did you know there are 3 times more people that are dealing with anxiety than 10 years ago?
I would believe that. Does it have any relation to do with technology and phones?
Well, I was actually going to ask you, why do you think that is?
I'm guessing it's related to technology. It's related to phones.
Yes.
Social media.
Yes. Yeah. You're definitely covering everything that does play a role now with people having anxiety. Because now more than ever, we're connected to a device.
Mm-hmm. And everything is recorded.
Yeah, everything is recorded. So we're gonna cover 5 tips. You probably won't like number 3. I know I don't like number 3. Just keep an open mind as we go through. So tip number 1, Jill, this is your favorite one, I think, is don't look at your phone the first hour when you wake up and an hour before bed. But the reason why people always need to know the why behind everything is anxiety. People in the morning when they wake up and they see all these text messages, like in our case, we have so many messages coming through because of our business, or you look at your to-do list, that just starts creating anxiety for the rest of the day. And then at nighttime, that's when people are consuming the news, they're just consuming all this information overload. And that's sometimes people start comparing themselves to other people on social media. So it just phones create a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Or if, you see something that you don't like, so-and-so said something about somebody else, on social media, and now you're freaking out about it and suddenly you can't go to bed. I agree with that.
Kate Middleton. Nobody knew where she's been. I don't know if you saw that. And I was just like,
no.
Getting lost. No.
I don't even know who that is. Is she somebody in the royal family?
Yeah. So like she, I don't even know what happened. I just know that people haven't seen her publicly. And so because people haven't seen her publicly, they made like this big fuss around it. And then the other day, she actually came out and turns out that she's going through like some health issues or cancer or something like that. So people calm down. But it's like people freak out over stuff like that, or like the solar eclipse. Like it's going to be the end of the world apparently this year. So stuff like that.
You know, we were watching the other night. We watched Ghostbusters, the second Ghostbusters. And it came out in, I think, 1989. And it was funny because Bill Murray's character, Venkman, he wasn't a Ghostbuster anymore. He had the equivalent of what a podcast is now, I guess, but he interviewed people. He had a little like talk show. That's what he had. And so he has these two, scientists. And this one, the guy said that he wrote a whole book and he said that he predicts the world is going to end at New Year's. And Venkman's like, New Year's? And he's like, yeah. And he said, you just released this book. Don't you think you should have predicted it out a little bit further? Because that doesn't even give you time to sell any of these books. And that was kind of funny. But then the woman, she had a different theory of when the world was going to end. And it was going to be in 2016. From that time to 2016 was so far away, from 1989 to 2016, that was the year my son was born also. But it was so interesting to hear that. One, that was their prediction back in the day. But then two, had
that really been like a thing? Imagine the anxiety that people were getting just from that.
Ugh. I had anxiety when I was a kid because of the end of the world stuff.
Y2K?
No,
how old were you during Y2K? Wait, were you born?
It
in
was
the...
June.
You're born
6th,
in the 90s at some point, right? What?
The date was June 6th, 2006. There was like this freaking...
For what?
For the end of the world. That's like the first time I recall, because I was 2006. I was like, I don't know, like in sixth grade. I was in elementary school. So I remember kids and everybody talking about the end of the world on June 6, 2006. And I remember like being so terrified as a kid. So I went home and I remember because my routine was to watch The Simpsons at 5 p.m. until 6 p.m. And yeah. I freaking love The Simpsons. And
yeah.
I remember at 6 p.m. when The Simpsons was over, I was like, oh my God, the world's going to end, and then nothing happened. But I was going to go out watching The Simpsons.
Hell yeah. We did The Simpsons from 5 to 6 p.m. every night also.
Hey. Yeah, same here.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was Y2K. That I remember New Year's night, I was at my boyfriend's and it was like, okay, are we gonna die? Like, just like it's really funny to even think that could, yeah. It's like all of a sudden, like, boom, it could end. But
I mean,
when you're in,
it could.
It could, but when you're in like the moment of it and the hype of everybody yeah. else talking about it, there's that little bit in your mind, you're like, well, what if it does?
Life is funny, but stuff like that, people, you know, get anxious about things like that. And like, it's a political year, right? So it's just like watching things like that or reading things like that an hour before bed, you want to put away, because anytime you react to a storyline or have feelings about anything, your body doesn't really know. It just stresses out, right? It has a physiological response. So that creates anxiety. And that's how you go to bed. Same thing when you wake up, you see the to-do list, you start worrying about your day, and it creates anxiety. So it's going to be challenging for a lot of people to be, you know, wake up and not look at their phone or turn off your phone an hour before bed.
Mel.
Yeah.
So in a previous episode, I think it was the 8 Habits Ruining Your Life.
Yeah.
We talked about putting the phone down hour before bed, hour after, and you were challenging me to do it.
Yeah.
And so far I have not done it. But to be fair, I don't look at anything for that time. Like, I use that as my wind down time, and I literally play a game, like a little puzzle game where you're matching pieces and getting rid of stacks and then I listen to a mindset podcast in the background or an audiobook, and then I get tired and then I shut off and I go to sleep. And it's very relaxing and there's no anxiety whatsoever. It's getting rid of all anxiety, actually.
Yeah. And that was actually what I was going to say, is how does it make you feel? This is a tip if, you know, looking at your phone first thing in the morning derails your day. Or the opposite, if you're on your phone an hour before bed, are you maybe going to bed a lot later and then you're getting less sleep, which actually has an impact on your day the next day? So how does it make you feel? You know, if it's playing a role in your anxiety, then that's your challenge.
Yeah, I agree. And I do try to stay off it in the morning, though, because in the morning, that's when I'm getting a fresh dose of emails. I'm getting messages from people that work for me. They need this. They need that. They want me to look at something. I'm getting messages from WhatsApp. Like, that definitely sets the pace of my day. So I do try and just leave it alone in the beginning of the day. I have to remind myself, nobody needs it right now. Even if they think they need it right now, they don't need it right now. They can wait until we go through the morning routine. My son goes off to school, and then I'm going to come and focus on everybody's needs.
Exactly. So tip number 2, and again, these tips are there for you if it enhances your anxiety, meaning that it makes it worse. So that
Hold on.
Is
Well done, Mel. I think you're giving people an easy out right now. So before you choose, like, oh no, that's not giving me anxiety, really, really think about it. It might be giving you anxiety and you don't even realize it's happening. So don't take the easy out and just say, yep, that doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. That's actually pretty spot on, Jill. Sugar, food in a box, so processed foods tend to make people feel sluggish, or they feel bad, or like they regret it. And when you feel that way, right, it really does come down to like the feelings. It can play a role in your anxiety. What do you think about that?
I 100% agree with that, because I have had my own issues around sugar in my life. And I'm pretty good about processed foods. But I know when I eat foods that I consider bad, or I think everybody probably considers them bad, it does not make me feel good about myself. I'm like, why did I have to do that? Why couldn't I have just said no to that? So I agree with that one.
Yeah. So that may be challenging for some people, and I get right atomic habit. So take it, just inventory how much sugar you're consuming, especially if you're super anxious. Just do your best to slowly start cutting it off and see how you feel.
And this actually might be one of the easiest things that you can take from this list of five, because it might be something you don't even realize was a factor leading to your anxiety. A lot of people hear some of these other ones related to anxiety maybe a little bit more often, or if they've heard it along the way, but junk foods might be something new, and it could be just a little change in your diet, and it could make a huge difference on your attitude, on your anxiety.
100%. So if you're going to do any of these, do number two. All right. Tip number three, kind of refuse to stand by it, but there's a reason why it's recommended. If you're super, super anxious, lower your caffeine or completely eliminate caffeine consumption first thing in the morning. Now, the reason why is because in the morning when you wake up, we have this stress hormone called cortisol. It's elevated. So you're naturally already on alert, and then you go drink caffeine, which just kind of adds. And there's two type of people that, you know, when they consume caffeine, it does one or two things. I can drink coffee and go to sleep.
Ugh. Yeah, so I can't even smell coffee.
Joe, we can't be friends. I love coffee. I cannot drink coffee
after like 11 o'clock in the morning. I will be up until 3 in the morning that night.
I truly do not smile if I didn't have my cup of coffee in the morning. So I don't like
Mel. I only recently started drinking. Well, when I say recently, it was around my early 30s was when I first started drinking coffee. So that's more than half of my adult life since I've been alive that I didn't touch coffee. But now I drink coffee and I do enjoy it, but I've never ever once drank it to keep me awake or anything. I don't give it that power. I drink it because it's a warm, tasty beverage, and I have this, you know, keto creamer that I put in there that I really like, and I just like the feel of drinking it. But you did start this little segment on the coffee thing by saying don't drink it first thing in the morning. So are you saying it is okay if you drank it later in the day, it will give you less anxiety than versus drinking it in the morning first thing? Or did it not matter when?
No, I think we could do an entire podcast on coffee. I absolutely love coffee. So a reason why people would push it later into their day, if it makes sense for them,
is because actually I should back up and say and reference some studies here that coffee has its benefits and it has its place, especially pre-workout, because it can help, you know, speed up your metabolism, etc. So basically being a little bit more intentional with your coffee placement, like if you're going to get a workout or you actually need that boost later in the day.
So what I try to do in the morning before I have my coffee, because I think it's good for everything, especially with hydration, is that I try to drink, like I drink 24 ounces of water. At least that's my water bottle that I carry around all day long. I try to get through one of those or at least half of those before I touch my coffee, because I feel like it's giving me a little hydration before I go into the...
Yeah, of course.
Go into the coffee.
When I was in college, that's when I discovered the Huberman Lab podcast, and I was taking a physiology class. Specifically, we're talking about coffee and its effects on exercise, and it is recommended to drink coffee 90 minutes after you wake up. So if you cannot give up coffee like me, at the very least, give it 90 minutes. So you wake up, you let your natural cortisol levels, you know, kind of calm down, then have your cup of coffee. If you're like me, where you wake up and, you know, the first thing you do is make your cup of coffee, that could play a role if you're, you know, super, super anxious. So delay 90 minutes or try to give it up completely for 30 days. I will never do that. I love coffee too much.
I probably am pretty, I'm easily, I don't drink it 90 minutes with, I don't drink it before. What the hell? I definitely give it about 90 minutes.
I get up,
shower, get my son ready. By the time we're driving to school is the first time I'll take a sip.
Yeah. Sometimes I will give it the 90 minutes. I wake up, I read, I meditate. Then I'm like, oh yeah, my coffee.
It is something that is exciting when you're like, ooh, my coffee.
Yeah. I also only drink black coffee.
Now, Mel, I would not drink coffee. If they did not have creamer, I would not drink coffee at all. That's the only reason I started drinking coffee was because of stupid Starbucks. And I had a friend at work that used to go there every day, and she's like, want me to pick you up one? It's really good. I'm like, no, I don't even like coffee. And she's like, you've never had this. That she would like bring me one all the time. And then I started getting addicted to it, but I am happy that I have this creamer. It has zero sugar. It has like MCT oil. It has something else. It's like good for you, whatever. But
yeah,
I do love it. It's an acquired taste. Not everybody can handle it when they first try it. But I love it.
So I do have to give a public service announcement since we're talking about coffee. And that's that coffee is the most heavily sprayed crop with pesticides. So, and the U.S. is the worst when it comes to coffee regulations, because so in other countries, they won't take specific beans because they do mold tests, like mold toxin. And guess who takes the moldy coffee beans? We do, the U.S. So we take the moldy coffee, and that's what's in a lot of coffee. So if you take your coffee seriously, especially because it's the first thing you put in your body in the morning, look for an organic, third-party tested for mold toxins. That way, you're drinking the highest quality coffee out there.
I just want to reference that with Mel is from California, so.
Jill!
Of course she's going to have that message for us.
Yeah, that I'm a coffee snob and I do pour overs, yeah.
So I love the coffee snobs. Like, I think it's fun. That pour over is super fun. And I have considered getting it. And then one day I was like, I don't even like coffee that much. Why would I ever get this? Why would I put any time and energy into this? If I go to a hotel or a gas station, which I barely ever drink coffee from a gas station, but if I do and they did not have hazelnut creamer pods, then I would just leave. Like, I don't even care about coffee that much that if I can't get a creamer in it, I will skip it. So I'm going to be at a hotel soon. If there's no creamer, I'm out. I will not drink it. I don't want plain creamer. I don't want milk in there. I don't use sugar. I don't want it. It's not worth it to me.
I make sure, like, even when I go visit my mom, she has this instant crap. I take my own coffee or I'll order coffee to make sure there's real coffee when I get there.
Yeah. Okay, I do have one tiny level of snobbery in my coffee. And when I go up to my aunt's cabin, she drinks mud. Like, she will put her grounds. She's got, like, whatever scoops of grounds and then this tiny amount of water because she doesn't want to be wasteful, I guess. And so she makes, like, a not even a half a pot, but uses all of these stupid, like, gross, cheap-ass freaking grounds. And anytime I drink it, I want to spit it right out because it tastes like mud. And I can't drink her coffee. So I do bring my own coffee and then we have to make two pots because we're both not going to drink each other's coffee. It's actually pretty stupid. What about decaf? And we'll just really quick touch on it. So would decaf get rid of the anxiety or it doesn't matter?
I'm actually not sure about that, to be honest. I mean, you can make the switch, especially if you just love the taste of coffee. Make the switch and see what happens because specifically caffeine is what plays a role in potentially elevating your anxiety. So mm-hmm. I would say that you're good to go on decaf.
So that's I would think so too.
It's funny.
All right, moving on to tip number four, and that is practicing mindfulness.
So what we mean by practicing mindfulness is bringing yourself back to the present moment. Anxiety, if you look at the definition, is constantly worrying about the future or literally living in the past. So if your thoughts are, if they're not about what's in the present, then you're no longer in the now. If you're no longer in the now, you're creating anxiety. So one way to practice mindfulness is to just focus on your senses, like every single one. So you can feel, what do I feel right now? I feel my desk. I can feel my water bottle. I can feel this microphone. That's feeling. What do I see? I see Jill across the screen from me. I see my water bottle. I see my keyboard. Just literally spending 30 seconds on being attentive to your senses. That brings you back to the present moment. Guess what? You're no longer thinking about the past. You're no longer worrying about the future. So trying to get in the habit of calling yourself out when you are having anxiety is, oh, you're no longer being present. That's what you do to bring yourself back.
That's a great tip. And I know a lot of people that live in the past or worry about the future. A current example of this would be TikTok. How many people, what was it, last week or the week before, where they went to the courts and they were going to ban TikTok in the United States? People are constantly, what do you think of that? What are you going to do? I'm like, it didn't even happen yet. If it happens, then I'm going to worry about it when it happens and I'll figure out how to move forward at that time. But it currently isn't relevant in my life. So I'm not going to spend 2 seconds on it is how I'm going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it at all.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, it's out of your control. So like, if it happens, it happens. Right.
Right. Exactly. So it's not worth worrying about.
No, but that's a great example. And I don't know about you, Jill, but to me, it seems like and I hate to just throw a number, but it just seems that 90% of the people that I come across sometimes in the online space are focused, you know, living their life from a place of the past, or they're constantly focused and worried about the future. So then they just get stuck and that creates anxiety.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
Yep, absolutely. Or people that are comparing themselves to others and they're trying to get to their success, comparing, and they get stuck there too. It's the same. It's creating that anxiety, and they cannot move forward with their own progress because they're so focused on everything else.
One of the books that truly changed my life is The Power of Now. I remember the moment that that thing in my brain just clicked. And I just like, I remember, like, I actually had tears because I was like, oh my gosh, like, how beautiful, how, like, it really transformed me. It changed my life. Like, it clicked for me that I cannot control the freaking past. I cannot control the future. Literally just focus right now. And then I just like started taking action, and it had an impact on my life. So that's how I live my life. That's why I'm very like 24-hour sticky notes kind of deal. Because that's all we do have is literally us sitting here talking. Like that's all that exists. Nothing else exists. And that sounds a little Fruit Loop to some people, but when that clicks for you, that all you have is now, it can change your life. What do you ever like find yourself getting lost? Because of course we're human, so it's very easy for us to, you know, kind of submit to worrying about the past or the future. Like when that happens to you, how do you cope with that?
Well, I'm a mom, and anybody that's a parent, I think that really, I think there's no way to not have a certain level of anxiety creep in as soon as your kid walks out the door. Like every time I let him go out the door, I'm like, you know, anything could happen, and it takes so much mind control and so much self-talk for me to not let myself go there, because then it just creates that anxiety builds up real quick. And if I, that's probably why I play my game and I listen to things at night, because I don't want to go in those places because it's so scary. And like I said, the anxiety builds real quick. And all of a sudden, yeah, I'm wide awake and I'm laying there freaking out in my own head about something that hasn't even happened. It is the worst. I was going to say when you first asked, I was like, no, I'm really good at this. And I'm like, oh, crap. Nope. Not when it comes to my kid. That gives me more anxiety than anything.
I was just laughing because I would say like the one time, not the one time, but like the commonly, I was such a rebellious teenager and like a wild young adult. And I remember when people used to upset me, and I was like a troublemaker and a fighter back in the day. Now I'm just like, I move on. You know, I take the higher path here. Then I'm like, oh, I should have said this to this person. And then I'm like, let it go. Let it go. You always think about the best comebacks when you're like long on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty good with all that stuff, but no, it's definitely the biggest struggle for sure when it comes to the kid.
I mean, that's fair enough. Luckily for me, I only have to worry about my dogs.
I just told, speaking of dogs, I've always had like the size of a Labrador has been what I grew up with. We had labs. I had a dog that was similar to a lab. And then I got the wiener dog. I've had a couple other little dogs in my life where the family I nannied for, they had a really tiny dog. He weighed 4.5 pounds. His head was like the size of a racquetball. He was the cutest, sweetest, tiny little light as air thing. And I just told my mom's dog just died. And she's like, I'm not getting a dog. I'm not getting a dog. And I said, Mom, now that my sister has big dogs and just got a little dog. And I said, don't let her talk you into getting a little dog, because my sister's an animal pusher. she will talk you into getting some animal. And I said, don't let her talk you into getting a dog. She's like, I'm not going to. I said, more importantly, don't let her talk you into getting a little dog. I said, yes, they are super, super cute, and you could pick them up and you could put them on your lap, and they're easy to travel with because they're so much smaller than big dogs. Like, they will give you anxiety like no other, because as soon as you let them out the door, who knows if they're getting picked off the ground? My mom has property up in the woods. She has 5 acres in the woods. I'm like, you can't just let a little dog go outside. That thing will be gone. It will be eaten by something. It will become its meal. So
yeah.
Do not eat a little dog if you don't want anxiety.
Yeah, I was going to say that is some serious anxiety because where I live, I don't have back neighbors. I have a canyon. And then I'm like, oh yeah, this beautiful big backyard for my dogs. And then I have anxiety every time they go outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mel and I talked about this before. I let my dog out and I'm like, don't get eaten. Like, yeah. Every time I let him out, don't get eaten.
So I have 2 dogs and they're my children. So I still get a little bit of anxiety from that.
Yeah.
All right. Last tip. Tip number 5 is taking 6 deep, intentional, deep breaths. So there was a Japanese study, and now it's a very popular thing that these, like, especially entrepreneurs do, is called the, I think it's pronounced hara, which means abdomen in Japanese. So it's just breath work. And it's just literally sitting down, taking the time to take 6 deep, right, from your diaphragm breaths, and you will feel better. So if you really are having a bad day and just kind of freaking out, having anxiety, just pause, take 6 deep breaths. And again, studies show that that helps people feel better.
The Japanese always have such good helpful tips.
Both.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever done any breath work where you like took the time to take some deep breaths and did it help?
There's an app that I had heard about on something I was listening to online, and it's like a mindful breathing app. And I will do that with my son sometimes before bed. And yeah, you breathe with the app. Like, it starts counting down and then you're like,
oh yeah,
breathing in and then holding it for a certain amount of time and then breathing out. And they have ones for like to calm your mind. They have some to like get yourself ready for bed. And then they have some to energize you, which I've never done. And they have some like morning ones, yeah, you know, to like get you going. I never do any of those, but I don't really have problems in the morning. So I'm always full of energy anyway.
But that's Jill.
I used to have a roommate that one time. She was really good at listening to everything in the morning. I'd be rambling on and then one day she looked at me and she's like, "You're just too much in the morning sometimes." She's like, "This energy, it is nonstop every day, every morning. You're like never down. You're just always like fly out of bed with a smile on your freaking face. And sometimes I can't handle it." Like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah, no, that's too much for me. My wife is exactly the same. And I will sit there with my cup of coffee, just staring at her like, why? It's too dang early for smiles. Oh, gosh. But yeah, breath work is super popular right now. Or it's not that it's popular, it's just gaining more traction. Because we live in a world where people are super anxious. I recently went to my chiropractor and he told me, you know, like, he laid me down and he's like, take a deep breath. And I took a deep breath and it was all from my lungs. And he's like, oh, that's a really good breath for, you know, for sports. He's like, but for stress relief, he's like, you need to do it from your diaphragm. So he left me there until I was doing breath work from my diaphragm. So now every morning before I get out of bed, before my feet touch the floor, I just lay there and I take 6 deep intentional breaths, like say things that I'm grateful for. And then I get up and I feel great. So if you're going to take deep breaths, do it from your diaphragm.
I wonder if you're a better singer now, Mel. They always tell you to breathe from your core. I did want to tell you guys, if you were interested in the app that I use for taking the breaths and, you know, breathing intentional breaths before you go to bed or when you first wake up in the morning for energy, it is called State. That's the name of the app. And it is a paid app, but I don't pay for it. You can get a couple of the features for free. So I just use the free ones. I don't pay for it, but But if you're interested, that's the one I use. And I'm sure there's a million of them out there, but
yeah. So these are the
five podcasts, so we're giving our recommendations.
Yeah. Yeah. We should get a sponsorship for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are the five tips. That's what we have for today. As always, find the bigger room.
Thank you so much for joining us.